Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is.
What time is it?
Scoop Chat time. It's everyone's favorite time. Bum, 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 bum. What's that? Is that our new elevator intro song?
Could be.
What's okay. The Harvard theme song?
Well, you know what? I think it's time for you to find that.
What's their? Do they got a band over there?
They definitely got a band over there. I come bearing gifts.
Yes, big gifts.
And it's really exciting. And this one's for Deet. And I think it's going to really round out his identity, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start off with that. We have, it's the...
Oh, my alma mater.
Bring back memories of those days at Harvard Square.
Like the lamest school song in the entire world. Song.
Okay, well, whatever. We got a lot to go over. It is the year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant, and we are going to talk about it.
Yes.
We're then going to talk about everything going on in the news. We got, you know, vaccines to talk about. There's a lot going on in that way. Anand is a week in. We're going to see if he has any side effects, any weird twitches, any fevers, anything like that. We have a little bit of Jeffrey Epstein news. I know that's a little strange.
A little too much news for my liking.
I'd rather just not talk about it anymore, but we need to because there are people that need to be called out and we are here to call them out. And then I got to know, man, what is going on with GameStop?
Why, doesn't stop.
It is not stopping.
Yeah.
And I thought it stopped a while ago. Now, I've driven past so many GameStops, closed, going out of business, whatever. Now all of a sudden it's the hottest stock in the world.
Retail's hot.
GameStop?
Yeah, GameStop.
All right. Well, you guys got to explain to me what the hell's going on. Maybe I need to fire up the Robinhood. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that and many, many, many more things to talk about. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, group chat. Cash.
Go, Woody, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to group chat.
Applause.
Woo! Okay, we got a lot to go over today. We got a whole lot, but I wanted to start with a gift.
Wow.
Wow.
This gift in particular is for Deep.
Wow.
And I think it's important, you know, when you've been close friends for a decade or more, I think it's important to still remember to give each other little gifts and little, just, you know, the little things.
It's a gift, not a gif.
It's a gift that hopefully becomes a gif.
Wow.
But, you know, just in between birthdays and holidays, okay. When you find something that really means a lot to a guy, you gotta just jump on it and take care of it.
I'm excited to see what this is.
It's not from Target.
Okay.
It's the only bag I had.
I was excited. Target's
a great place. Target's a great place.
Yep, a lot of options there, but this is the only bag I had.
Okay.
Here you go.
Wow. Let's see. For the listeners, it's soft.
Okay.
Give a little ASMR. Get real close to the mic when you're opening
it. Unboxing. You know that color.
Harvard crimson.
You finally made it. So
you're officially a Harvard man.
I'm a Harvard man. I got a Harvard sweatshirt, a Harvard flag.
Yep.
And
that's for the desk. That's
what is this,
desk.
A bib?
Oh, that's for Miles.
Miles.
Got future Harvard graduate. Bib.
And then, what is it, a Harvard t-shirt?
Yep.
I'm just a Harvard man.
And there's one other thing in there, I think, right?
Oh, there's a book. Self-love poetry.
There you go. You know, we were having troubles with self-love and,
oh my,
you know,
God,
identity so issues. Good.
Yeah, there was a big disconnect.
There was, yeah, between who he is and who he thought he should be. Yeah. And so now you can learn to love yourself while reading poetry.
Pete, I need the flag up in the room as inspiration.
So are you just going to tell people you went to Harvard now?
Yeah, I'll just wear the sweatshirt when I'm running. A Harvard man just running down Sunset.
What are you going to ask for his transcripts?
there's a Harvard man that runs in my neighborhood.
Now
do you think
two.
He's a poser?
he might be on Amazon.
I saw a girl wearing a Harvard sweatshirt the other day. I was like, yeah, I don't know. You don't look like Harvard material to me.
It's like those fake military people. You know what I mean? You got to walk up to him and ask about the credentials.
Yeah.
Well, the military, Pat, there's millions of people have served.
Yes.
Harvard, there's not that many.
Yep. Let me tell you what. You can get it quick from Amazon.
Yeah.
So skip the 4 years.
No, it's like, can you imagine if I just walked in somewhere wearing a Harvard sweatshirt, everyone's going to think I'm fucking brilliant.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. No, it definitely will change the vibe you get when you walk into rooms.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to just set up. I'm just laughing. Sorry. People aren't going to ask, like, hey, what year did you graduate? Unless they went to Harvard. Yeah. How many people went to Harvard?
Yep.
Very few.
Yeah, just be like, I didn't see you there. Yeah. Where were you at the fucking town square? Like,
where were you?
No, there's like five key words I think you need. Yeah. I mean, suits, that TV show is based on a guy who has to fake that he went to Harvard for years.
Yeah, pick a couple buildings.
Yeah, a couple buildings, couple lunch spots.
Fine.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
Freaking, who's the guy who played Zuckerberg?
Josh Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Sorry. But yeah, there's also a bib. I thought it was important for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bib so that good. Says future graduate.
Yeah, it's going to get them into an identity crisis at age one.
Yeah. I mean, start I'd rather, early. I should teach
my USC up there, but your dress is in Harvard.
I mean, just for their sake, people are going to think they're geniuses now. They're walking around a Harvard bib.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to be like, wow, what a genius kid
that is. Genius baby.
You should make sure when he goes back to school, he wears that thing in school.
You should actually wear the Harvard sweatshirt and go to like Trader Joe's. Do people look at you differently?
100%.
For sure. I bet you'll get a different vibe.
Yeah.
You may get some hellos.
Well, try it out. Look, you were going through this thing, so I figured try it. Read some poetry, pop on the Harvard sweater, and just see if you feel better.
Yeah. I love it. This is amazing. Okay. Incredible gift.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I...
Harvard man.
Yeah, Harvard man. Okay.
What are you doing to this?
Moving on. When it comes to merch, I see both of the Murley brothers are repping today.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. It's all over the... You know, there's still... Like, the one thing that blows me away is the murals. There's still murals, like, everywhere all over the city. And it's also been, like, through all of the protests, all the, like, you know, the homelessness and all this stuff. Like, the city's gotten kind of grungy a little bit. Those murals are untouched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I think no one in the moment pre-Kobe passing realized the impact he had on everyone. Like, he was always this larger than life figure, but you just like, it's Kobe. Like, he's bigger than the sport, he's bigger than everything. But post his death, and I'm going to steal this line that Zach Lowe, he's a famous NBA writer, I just heard him on a podcast, that Kobe Bryant is an ideology. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Kobe Bryant for the five titles, the MVP, the scoring titles, the finals, MVP, you're missing the point. And I think that's what was so obvious after he passed.
Yep.
The way people gravitated towards Kobe and how much it impacted everyone. Because it's the ideology of like, you have to have the audacity to want to accomplish anything.
Yep.
And willing to do anything. And that's applicable to everyone's life.
Yep.
Everyone can do that, whether it's personal, professional. And that, I think, is what the biggest lesson in the last year. It's like, Kobe can help you get through whatever hardship if you worship him.
Yeah.
Right.
I also think like a lot of times, you know, people always talk about like when people are alive, we don't really celebrate them properly. And then when they die, we do. And I think that no matter who that is, like no matter if it's, you know, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The moment someone passes away, you start to look at like, wow, did you know they did this? And did you know they did that? I felt like when Kobe was alive, a lot of people like, you know, sort of for sports reasons, maybe hated on him, maybe for his past charges, brought that up, whatever. But when he passed away, it was able to like really be celebrated how deep, like I was shocked at how incredibly deep the Kobe impact was. And truly, like you could be like, man, this guy really made people, like you said, want to be better no matter who they were, athletes or not. It made people in LA, of course, feel like a really deep feeling. But like, I don't know, a year later from when he passed away, being able to see the true impact of Kobe Bryant, like it is amazing.
Yeah, and I think the thing that is just so sad is, you know, we all talk about Kobe Bryant as respect as an athlete. But at the end of the day, he was married, he had kids, and... You know, his daughter passed as well. And it's just like so devastating for their family.
Yep.
Because this is not that you ever move on from a death, especially like the death of your father, your husband, you know, something that traumatic. Mm-hmm. But like there's not a day that goes by in those close immediate family members' lives that like Kobe Bryant's not talked about.
Yep.
Right. And so it's like, I can't even imagine how they've dealt with the last year, how difficult that is. I mean, it's just thinking about it from the perspective of being a parent and then like you have kids and you're such an integral part of your children's lives, especially someone like Kobe who was clearly very active in his kids' lives. I can't imagine what his kids are going through now. And then obviously Vanessa Bryant, his wife, and just the people around him that were close. It's just like, it's so fucking traumatic.
Yeah.
And for them, obviously, it's probably by far the most difficult than all of us, as at the end of the day, we were just fans and just loved him for, you know, his competitive nature.
Yeah.
But it's such a tragic thing. And like, it's something that I don't think people will ever get over. Like, yeah, it's going to be for generations.
But I think that speaks to the impact that it affected millions of people who've never met him, never talked to him.
Yeah.
Literally, none of us knew him. None of us were, I mean, he's notorious. He didn't have friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that impact was so great. And I don't think we'll ever see that again.
I don't know. I mean, look.
I think
who knows, will. But I don't, not exact.
Just the way things are fragmented, yeah, now, it's not going to just be wide sweeping.
That's true.
Look, Kobe touched people that are just casual fans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the point is there will never be another Kobe. That's for sure. And I don't think anyone will ever be like able to really be compared, you know?
Well, I think from a, put aside the athletic part, I think it's more of, I agree on the impact part. It's really, really hard to do that on a widespread, given there's so many varied interests. Like, he was the last group of athletes where like people cared about sports, right?
No, like, I mean it's the last group of athletes where you didn't have to be an avid sports fan for him to be on your radar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, because I think sports, unfortunately, isn't that anymore, right? Like that casual sports fan that just hops in and out.
Yeah.
I mean, like Tom Brady is probably it. Like,
but Tom Brady doesn't he resonates with New England fans. He doesn't transcend that.
I would disagree. I think we saw this weekend that like he fucking resonates with everybody. I
got to give you an example though. I'm going to get roasted for this, yeah, especially from our friends who listen to this podcast. Yeah. I didn't even realize anyone was playing for the Super Bowl. I didn't realize. I don't, yeah, know who Tom Brady beat. I know, yeah, Tom Brady's old as shit and, yeah, somehow, yeah, is still making it to Super, yeah, Bowls. But like, to me, my attention is so fragmented on other things.
Exactly. That's why I think it's, you know, hard from that perspective. Yeah. I agree.
But I would say that's as comparable as you would get to like, yeah, a big sports moment.
Yeah.
But I have to believe, once again, I wasn't really old enough or enough of an LA fan, but when they were really making their like Lakers run, that had to be like a global, everyone was aware.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was big. I mean, it's Lakers. At the end of the day, Lakers are probably one of the most famous sports teams on earth. And then you have this young star,
yeah,
who didn't go to college, jumped from high school.
Yeah.
He was superstar.
I also just think, like, you know, like even like LeBron, like LeBron's legacy, LeBron has done so much for the black community and for charity stuff and like whatever, and is an absolute, like, insane how athletic he is. But there's something about the Mamba mentality, like, yep, that just connected.
Yeah.
He's the personification of working hard, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. And I think LeBron will never get that.
I don't
reputation.
Think so.
No, he, yeah,
he'll get the charitable, like, he will bigger get, picture, he'll have bigger than an impact. Athlete.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. He will be more of like Godfather type to me.
Yeah,
where he's like, he took care of everyone.
Yeah,
you know. Whereas Kobe's mentality and the way he operated as an athlete is very unique. Like, there's obviously who's done that. Like, nobody.
Yeah, and it's the overcoming of challenges, which is what is applicable to everyone.
Yeah,
that's, I think, what Kobe personified, is that doesn't matter how hard it gets, put your big boy pants on. That's what he would always say. Put your big boy pants on and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to everyone.
Yeah. I agree. And I will say, this also marks the 1 year anniversary of pretty much when it all went downhill.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, really, like, I would say last year, am I right in thinking last year was off to an okay start?
Yeah.
This horrible tragedy happened.
Rona is 1 year old, pretty much.
Followed up very shortly by Rona.
Yeah.
And just the shit show.
I mean, stuff. What a fucked year.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully, look, hopefully we're off to a better start this year. It seems like we're making some progress on vaccines. We'll talk about it.
Yep.
You know, LA is opening back up. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Kobe, man.
Yeah, RIP.
Okay. So next up, I just got to ask you guys, what in the world is going on with GameStop? I don't, the stock is, GameStop.
Nobody knows that.
Well, here's the thing. What you guys didn't realize, retail is back.
Where?
People are now walking inside stores to line up to buy physical games. That you guys didn't even realize this. That's what's happening.
I have driven past so many GameStops. No, it has. Those things look like freaking boring.
Do you have information on that or no? Do you have numbers?
Sales are booming at GameStop.
I don't think sales are.
Are you lying?
There's some.
Why else are they worth $10 billion?
Sack of
what
shit.
Is going on? So all I see real people talking about it. I see all the TikTok investors talking about it. Everyone's talking about GameStop. I thought there's a GameStop a mile down the street from us. I thought everyone I've seen is a going out of business sale, must sell, liquidating.
It's hot.
And now it's the hottest stock in the world.
So here's the timeline of events. So there's this Reddit board called Wall Street Bets. I think it has 2 million people that follow it.
Okay.
They started conspiring on this message board that they went and looked at what are the most heavily shorted stocks that don't have the float like a Tesla does, right? Like they can't impact Tesla. It's like you need hundreds of billions, not like $10 million, right? Mm-hmm. So they started bubbling and threw out a few names. BlackBerry, I believe.
Yeah.
GameStop, and there's one other company.
Bed Bath & Beyond, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were conspiring like, let's kill the shorts. And killing the shorts means it's a short squeeze. So if there's a lot of momentum going long, the stock starts going up, you have to cover your shorts by buying the stock, and then it just flies like GameStop did. So that was the article that came out early Monday a.m., like the Reddit Wall Street Bets guys are killing the shorts, and it's this like fantasy story that these internet trolls caused GameStop to go up 100%. So that is partially true. But here's the other side that people – that isn't being widely reported. How does Robinhood make money? They sell order flow, right? They sell where the stocks are buying and being sold.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell that information to hedge funds, Citadel and Point72 being two of them. So Citadel and Point72 saw all this momentum from retail and they get it ahead of time in a split second. So Citadel and Point72 was all the volume. And then literally crushed the GameStop shorts and all these other short holders. And the stock flew. So the media says Reddit Wall Street Bets causes GameStop to soar. That's partially true. They came up with the idea. Yeah. The hedge fund just made all the money on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then separately, there's a hedge fund called Melvin Asset Management or Melvin Capital. They were the ones who were heavily shorted on these stocks. Point72 and Citadel went and pretty much took over the fund yesterday because they were so fucked on the short squeeze. They needed money to cover their shorts because they were screwed.
And by the way, Melvin.
So it's honestly the most ruthless, like Wall
all started by fucking trolls.
Yes.
On Reddit in their parents' basements.
What's amazing, there's a couple to really unpack this. This is where Robinhood is actually really interesting. This happens every day. Mm-hmm. We just don't get to participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
These fucking sharks are manipulating stocks all the time and we don't get to participate. This time, Retail Joe got to jump on the GameStop bandwagon. And when this message board, dude, you could have bought it yesterday in like the $80 range. Right, which is still absurdly high. It closed, I think, at 149 or something today. And it is an after hours at $220. So you could have 3x'd your money even just by jumping on the trade yesterday and not being the Wall Street shark. So I think here's the thing. This shit happens all the time. It's not new. It's just new that like, Pete gets to participate in it.
No, it's new that you can create enough momentum from retail traders because Robinhood's so popular that hedge funds can just, you know, hit
just
the
join
gas.
Join you.
Just light the fire on the gas and say, let's go.
Yeah. But isn't that like really dangerous that a bunch of kids on Reddit can make fucking GameStop? Like, isn't this like we're talking about like a big...
I was actually thinking about, you know that famous line in The Big Short? Like, this is the biggest casino in the world, talking about the financial system.
Yeah.
I think the stock market is honestly the scariest place right now because we threw fundamentals out the window in March and April when stimulus just started coming, right? Like nothing matters. Money just needs to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing clear market manipulation for not only retail investors to quant funds. And sure, quant funds have been doing this forever, but at this magnitude where you can swing a stock 200% in like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it made me realize like sports gambling is honestly like at least there's a game. Yeah. You bet on a team.
So you're saying it's safer.
Someone wins,
you win money.
It's safer. If your team loses, this is just the wild, wild west. And now we're going to get into Chamath. Chamath threw his hat in the ring.
What is he doing?
And he wants to be Elon Musk.
And then Elon Musk just tweeted,
yeah,
game stonk. And so now in after hours,
it's up $100 now, up 65%. It's trading at $243.
When you say Chamath threw his hat in the ring, what do you mean?
He tweeted last night, I'm going to throw a few hundred grand on some calls. What should we do? And then everyone's like, GameStop.
Probably made $10 million.
And then he posted, like, he bought call options for $115 that expire in February and said, let's go. And, like, basically, like, fired up his fan base. And then the stock went bananas.
And then
Zero Hedge, which is a finance blog that goes, this is bigger than Wall Street. It's Ken Griffin, who's the head of Citadel, yeah, multi-billionaire, and Chamath, like Ken versus Chamath. And Chamath retweets them, I will win. Ken has no shot. This is like just a joke,
yes,
for these tech billionaires. It's tech billionaires versus Wall Street billionaires.
Who's gonna win?
Yeah. Chamath is just shameless. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll go
so
after
So I'll tell you how crazy this market is. I saw all this chaos going. And so I was like, I want to be a part of the fun too. So I had cash sitting in my Robinhood. So I bought some put options on GameStop, which is the wrong momentum trade.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I bought it. The stock was up $55. 5 minutes later, the stock was up $75. And I bought $30 puts. So it has to fucking collapse.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I got wiped out. I got wiped out on my option trade in 5 minutes. I go look 15 minutes later. I am up 30%. Up. Because there's so much demand for the put option because so many people think it's going to drop,
yeah,
that it bid up the price for that. Everything goes up. It doesn't even matter if the stock goes up or down.
It's honestly scary. The stock market didn't make sense for a while. Now it's just being manipulated by bored billionaires.
Yeah. Well, and kids.
And kids, bored billionaires, and quant funds that are like, you guys keep talking it. We're going to see what you're doing before you do it.
And we're going to make money.
Make all the money.
By the way, to put into perspective, this is now a $10 billion market cap. It's pretty much bankrupt. The company's useless. 160 million shares traded. 160 million shares.
And that's honestly what it's the negative effect of Robinhood. This is going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's so much order flow. Like, I can't imagine, like, the volume of number of trades per user is probably insane Robinhood versus like a Schwab account.
Totally.
It's 50 trades a day.
Yeah, like normally the Schwab trader is like, he's going to buy Apple, look at it 6 months later. Should I sell it? Should I not? The Robinhood guy is like, Apple, 5 seconds, Tesla.
In, out. Bitcoin, what? Ethereum? What's this? Yeah.
And they don't realize how short-term capital gains taxes work.
They don't realize. Oh, my God.
You get taxed on stocks? What?
The funniest thing on my put option trade, so I was in the room with Josh. We're having a meeting. And I told him, I'm like, I'm up 30%. And then at the end of the meeting, I'm like, let's take a look at the option. I was down 99%.
In a meeting. Up 30, down 99 in one meeting.
Within one meeting.
Got it.
And then at the end of the day, I was up 30%.
Ironically, Robinhood, given its name, is the biggest beneficiary of Robinhood are quant funds, which are billionaires.
Yeah, it's steal from the poor, give to the rich. I feel like the poor are getting their asses, or they're going to get their asses handed to them if they're not already.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand, like, I mean, we all know this, but like, we're in this weird record time. Like, when things start to even kind of go down or level out, like, these kids are going to get the shit kicked out.
So let's all keep a close eye on GameStop. You know what's going to happen? Next week, the quant fund's going to be like, all right, we made $6 billion on this. We're done. Close the trade out.
It's over.
It's going to go to fucking zero.
Yeah, GameStop will go to zero.
You think it'll hang on for another week? I don't know how this shit works.
Could be by end of day.
I mean, literally, what it's so whipsaw. Like, it's up $100 in after hours.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, the stock could be down $150.
Right.
I don't know. It just
buy the dip, baby. Buy the dip.
I mean, if GameStop is smart, they should do a secondary offering tomorrow, mm-hmm. raise $1 billion, and stay solvent. I mean, the CEO must be like, I'm a billionaire. I literally did nothing. My company's insolvent.
But as a CEO, is someone here cashing out some stock and making?
We don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, the quant funds for sure.
No, but I'm saying like a CEO.
Oh, that type.
Who's a big stockholder that had it that was like, well, this thing's fucking worthless and now it's worth like billions.
I mean, if they're smart, they would.
Of a meme. I know, but I wonder. We'll see. But that's the story I'd like to hear. Imagine the guy who literally just considered this dead. And it just
now he's a
do you think there's gonna be any regulation against Robinhood now that it's because this order flow thing has been happening since the start of trading?
Yeah,
that it's legal. Let me be clear, this is legal what the quant funds are doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. How do you regulate? Like,
well, you can't sell the order flow.
Yeah, that's the regulation, but then they'll say you're taking liquidity out of the market. It's such a rigged game. If it was rigged back in 2008, like whatever that is times 10, that's what it is now.
It's way worse now.
Because couldn't you still accomplish a similar goal, even if you couldn't sell the order flow, but you could manipulate? Oh, it would have to be such a small stock, huh, to be able to manipulate mm-hmm. it on
Reddit. Yeah, it has to be like a game. So there's a list of other companies like Bed Bath & Beyond, Dillard's, all like.
You should just buy a little bit of all of those now.
Yeah, that's what happened. They're all up. They're up like crazy. All these retailers, like if you look like Macy's, all these retailers that have low volume, low float, easy to manipulate, they're all up because everyone's like, fuck, one of these retailers is going to be next. Like Macy's is a great one to manipulate.
Yeah. Bed Bath & Beyond's great too. Great products.
But couldn't you still, like if a stock, am I wrong? I just want to understand this. Like if let's just say you couldn't sell order flow, but all of a sudden, all these people started buying a relatively smaller stock like that. Wouldn't the quant funds and those things still register it as weird growth happening and still tag on, or it just wouldn't work that way?
What do you mean?
So what I'm saying is, like, if you could—
As being the only Harvard man here, I'm thinking probably
more. Yeah, you're right. That's why I'm bringing
my
it to
colleagues
you.
At the quant funds.
That's why I'm bringing it to you. My question is, even without selling order flow, would these bigger funds still recognize these small changes and still get that same like sort of and lift effect?
Yeah, I bet you there's these quant funds are now going to just troll these message boards on top of the order flow is just guaranteed data.
Yeah.
It's just here it is. It's just law. Here you go. This is what they do.
So what you're talking about is what high frequency traders do is this is why a lot of them are based in Chicago because they're physically close to the exchanges.
Yeah.
Because so the data they get is a quarter second faster than someone in New York.
Yeah.
And that was the game they were playing. This is just like, here's what everyone's doing.
Yeah. So that's what my question is even if you regulated and said you can no longer sell order flow, don't you think this same thing could happen?
Not like this.
Okay. Because like, that was my question.
You wouldn't be able to 2-3x a stock in 2 days.
But could you do it over a week? Could you do it over a month?
I mean, it's just riskier at that point.
Yeah, I just wonder. To me, it feels like the fundamental part of this problem is the fact that like stock trading has become this like viral internet thing, and people can even form these groups, and people have their Robin Hoods, and they're even just familiar that you can do this. Mm-hmm. It just feels like that's the scary part.
And what these funds, what's not really visible to anyone other than if you're Ken Griffin and you run Citadel. So they publish their like returns on like a handful of funds, like, oh, we did 8%, 9%. They have these internal funds that only
partners
have that no one knows what's going on, where mm-hmm. they're just printing money. Like they're probably making 30-50% year over year, if I had to guess.
And it's only their personal money. They don't let any of
the Wall Street billionaires are way worse than the tech billionaires because at least you can trace back where the tech billionaires made their money.
They provided like jobs at least.
Chamath has 39 SPACs. That's where he made his money.
Oh my God! Okay, what the fuck? Chamath is running for governor. Is that real?
This guy's out of control.
Chamath, I think, got a little taste of that fame.
Yes, he's textbook Dave Portnoy. He is following exactly that game of like, I need to be top of mind every single day.
He sounds a lot like Gary Vee when he talks too now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucks that aren't needed. And yes. A lot of, you know, a lot of abrasiveness.
It's a shtick now.
Yeah.
He's playing, he's acting a part. If you listen to him a year ago versus today, he knows he's just playing a character and the character is making him money. It's giving him more power. It's giving him more influence. And so what happened in California is about a month or two ago, there was this recall for Governor Newsom. So you needed to get, I think, 1.5 million signatures to force the recall, which would then have a recall election. So there's quite a bit of a process still left. But he wants to buy the Hamptons. He wants to rename, you know, everything.
The Masters
and all these different things. So he said, fuck it, I'm going to be for governor. So he releases a website for governor for California. And then he releases his platform, which is an unbelievable platform.
So he tweeted that platform out, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then they talked about it on their podcast that, you know, hey, you should run. His co-hosts were all telling him to run. And then when he posted the tweet earlier or whatever yesterday, I couldn't tell if he was trolling or if he's really running. And then I don't think he knew.
It's probably both. I don't think he knows either.
No, he doesn't know.
It's so if a
he
gets troll enough, until it's real.
Yeah.
Because if he gets enough positive momentum, he'll say, fuck it, let's run for governor.
I think that's what Donald Trump did.
Yes. That's what, to me, it's so Trumpy what he's doing. His whole shtick is Trumpy. And now, so his platform is 0% state tax.
Love it.
Love that.
Eliminate student debt. I don't know how he plans to do that.
Love it, though.
Raise teacher salaries to 70,000.
Love it.
Our hero.
So
he got my vote.
He said all the right things. Irrelevant how he plans to pay for any of it. That's fine, whatever. No one knows the answer to anything.
He should just back it up. Isn't that what a SPAC is?
Yeah, he could do a California SPAC.
We still haven't paid for that wall we were promised.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think what his point is, how he's going to be able to do all this, because he's been very public about investing in climate change is the $20-30 trillion opportunity.
Yeah.
So he's like, if we make California the hub of where all these startups for climate change are going to be,
you're
going to make it up in value. You're going to make trillions of dollars to the economy.
I think that's right. But, I mean,
how to
do it today, But I like his whole thing, his whole shtick of like the good guys winning thing and get the money. I'm going to get the money because someone's going to get the money, but I'm going to use it for good.
His language seems a little Trumpy.
On the French Laundry was the best. He goes, French Laundry is fucking trash. It's fucking trash. Hey, listeners, you want to go to French Laundry? Take a stick of butter, put it in the microwave and load up with some fucking salt. That's the French Laundry.
By the way, to be fair,
I like it. I'm into it.
Light $1,500 on fire. By the way, we've been to the French Laundry. Pretty disgusting.
For vegetarians, it's not.
It was disgusting.
Disgusting.
I would say it was disgusting. I mean, the wine obviously was incredible.
Pete, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was slightly above average at best.
The wine is.
It was not good for vegetarians. It was a painful meal.
Have you guys heard of Cheesecake Factory? They're really great competitors.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I think what Chamath is doing is fantastic. It's great. It's doing a lot of good. But being governor and taking that seriously and not fucking around is something that, like, I don't think you should play around with
it. He wants to be a governor like the way he wants to do his podcast when he wants to pop in. And
he goes, you know what? Oh, there's some wildfires?
I'll tell you what it is. It's exactly D running for manager of La Cienega. You're like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
You got it. And you're like, too many meetings. I'm out. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but this is the governor.
I know.
Mine was my neighbor.
I'm just saying, that's Chamath's version. Yeah. He's going to go to a few meetings and be like, what, you guys want me here once a week?
I got
shit to do.
I think it's very dangerous what he's doing, because if he doesn't, if he's serious, fuck it, go for it. People will support you. You have a great shot at winning because we do believe you will do good for the state. And you have good ideas, you're innovative, you're smart, all those things. But if you're going to go down this rabbit hole and then just drag it all out and then just kind of like when it's time to do it, just bow out, it's just kind of a bitch move.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's only on the IPOF. We got the Z.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe he can do it before
the
election.
There's a long way to go.
Yeah.
But hey, he's one of the good guys. It's just funny because you see what goes on. Like, there's this internet world of like Naval is like a star now.
Yeah.
Obviously, Elon is like mega star.
This is a literal definition of nerds flipping the switch. They are now the cool people.
Oh, like, that's for sure. But what I'm saying is like in that scene, Chamath is like the hot new artist.
Yeah.
Only the cool kids know who Chamath is.
Yeah.
And like he's gonna blow up. But like, I know you follow Elon and Naval, but you heard of Chamath.
Papadiah.
Yeah.
I feel like Naval doesn't even resonate because you actually have to want to sit and like think to follow Naval.
Oh, yeah, and he's
you
don't need
to. Who's got time for that with Robin Hood and GameStop? Yeah. Who's got time to think?
I mean, obviously he's Sri Lankan, Chamath, and Naval is Indian. But like for the brown to brown, like Chamath stole his thunder. Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
It's like
Naval who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's risky. Okay, and then the other thing is California, are we allowed to eat outside now?
Yeah.
Woo! About goddamn time.
So I saw that pop up. What's funny is I felt like I had looked like the day before at our infection rates, and they were still really high.
Yeah.
They just weren't going up anymore, but they're still very high. But whatever, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to slow that down. But the next day I looked, and it was like stay-at-home order lifted.
Yeah, so...
So fuck it.
So here's what's happening. On Friday in LA County, outdoor dining resumes, personal services resume. I can have a Super Bowl party now because I can have 3 outside families come to my house with 15 people.
And I think it's outdoors, have so it either way.
3 families, 15 people?
No, it said you can have 3 outside, 3 families outside of your home.
But a total of 15.
Yeah. So I can have a Super Bowl party.
Yeah. Wow. Me and Peter brothers.
What?
Me and Peter brothers. Yeah. One family.
But it's interesting to see like, and what the, I think a lot, the controversy really is, this past week was record, right? Record infections, record deaths, record hospitalizations. They are claiming that they see data that says that it is declining and that looking 4 weeks out, we feel good about their situation.
This whole thing is fucking
bullshit. The other problem is that your boys in the midst of getting recalled because the signatures are piling up and he wants to be like, I opened the country, I opened up the state. What the fuck are you complaining about?
Recall it as like the impeachment of the...
Yeah, so basically the recall means that he would have to hold a special election and...
Anyone can run.
Yeah, anyone can run with like a very low bar of number of signatures.
Got it.
So it'll be like famous people, like you name it. Like I bet one of the Paul brothers is going to run.
Jake Paul?
They should.
I would vote for
him. I prefer Logan.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what it feels like because the numbers aren't like, what are you doing?
No, from a pure data standpoint, if you believe lockdowns work, which I'm not here to say it does or doesn't, then you should not be lifting a stay-at-home order this week.
So lockdowns, in my opinion, don't work. I think keeping indoor dining at bay is very smart. Stopping outdoor dining, I've been very open about this. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever because it... Not only is the spread really hard if you go with your group and the way waiters are being with mask shields and masks, you're not really getting exposed to anything.
Yep.
And then you're sending all these hourly workers back home to multi-generational homes, which is really why the spread increased.
Yep.
It was a combination of holidays. Hourly workers have nowhere to go because everything's closed. So everyone's just on top of each other. And then they just all congregated during all these holiday parties. And I mean, the data shows that we're not close to being out of it for real, but two things are true. It's unpopular in the state of California to have a lockdown.
Yep.
The majority of Californians disagree with the way this is going. Yeah. And everyone I talk to, no one believes outdoor dining. No one. From liberal, conservative, it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, so I think politically it was the right move for him.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if you look at the data between Florida and California, which looks like the hospitalizations and deaths are very similar in both states.
In Florida and California?
Yes. But the problem is Florida's wide fucking open.
Wide fucking
open. Like you're having indoor dining.
Yeah. I think I've even seen some stats that Florida per capita is better than California.
So it's really hard to justify from...
Because the weather is the same. It's sunny.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Man. What's so freaking annoying is like, okay, all good. We get to kind of open back up, all good. So I only complain so much. But like, you just once again show that you have no fucking idea what you're doing.
Yeah, nobody knows what they're doing.
Because why are we opening? Why did you close in the first place then?
I wouldn't say no one knows what they're doing. I think they know exactly what they were doing. I honestly believe the only reason you would have done that lockdown is to stay in the media.
Do you also think that maybe it was just some, like, because you just can't stand Trump so much?
I'm sure that's part of
that
it.
You just want to do the opposite of what he's saying to do.
Yeah, I think that
do.
Is a...
In like, a you think that's like, part of it? And now everyone's just chilled the fuck out?
In California, 100%. That's a big part of it, right?
But like, when your constituents don't agree with you, that's a problem.
Yeah, but I totally agree. But like people were outraged from day one of this second lockdown. People were demanding answers, demanding data, demanding anything. And he didn't care. And I wonder if like... Because even if you're... I don't know. Like, who are you paying attention to that makes you think your constituents... I want what you're doing now. So then who are you listening to? Are you only listening to the opposite of what Donald Trump says?
Yeah.
Because even your own people, maybe I'm bubble guy right now, but I did not hear a large group anywhere saying, yes, lock it down.
No, I don't think even, I mean, like me being a liberal person, my view has changed from lockdowns to like, you know what? Fuck it. Keep everything open. Everyone's got to make their own decision. Because same with the vaccine. We know fucking half the country's not going to take the vaccine. They're just not going to take it.
It's almost more than half. From just like anecdotally from hearing the way people are talking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that
how are you feeling? We're a week in. You got any weird twitches or anything?
No, I feel great. I ran this morning.
Oh. Good stamina and everything.
It's a Harvard man.
Yeah.
It's a Harvard man.
Good stamina.
I mean, breathing. As a Harvard graduate, I'm going to take the vaccine.
It's just like if you supposedly have data now for what's going to happen 4 weeks out, you're talking about you know what people are doing right now.
Yeah.
That you have that data doesn't exist.
The real data point, and we have some bets going on in some friends chat of what like how this opening is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm convinced we're going to have a few 3 to 4 weeks of pain, meaning really bad deaths, hospitalization still going to be high, infections rate. And then I think it falls off a cliff in March.
So with the one data piece we have is in Israel, 60% drop in hospitalizations for age 60 plus 3 weeks after the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
We've poked a lot of people. 7% of the population has gotten poked.
Seven?
In America. It's at 28 million.
Yeah, those numbers I think will correlate directly with how people are getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Like I think that probably will be around March. But I do think like if you're using those stats, yeah, we probably got a few tough weeks. But then I think as that starts to kick in and so many people have gotten it now, it has to fall off a cliff. Like, the weather gets nicer.
I got the first shot. So they say 5 to 7 days in, I'm 65% immunity. That's a lot.
That's better than flu.
When I was at zero.
Yeah.
7 days ago,
I'm
zero.
I'm so jealous. Because I still like will wake up with a few allergies and be like, this is it.
And even if I were to contract it now, supposedly the virus should lower any the symptoms.
Yeah.
Compared to what I had a week ago.
You took the edge off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think in LA, you have to think in LA, at least in our bubble, by March, at the latest April, the majority of people we interact with will either have had it or been vaccinated. In our world, it should feel like significantly.
In March.
March at latest April.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think.
Like maybe Alabama, maybe the Hasidic Jewish community. I don't know if they're still scared of needles. I'm not sure what's going on. But my point is like scared of vaccinations. I'm not trying to disrespect. But my point is like maybe in certain communities.
Yeah.
But I think in our little bubble, don't you think like April will be like, whatever. No one's
because
even
I think there's going to be enough people in the designated categories that won't get it in the next 3 weeks because A, they're scared of it, don't want the side effects, whatever conspiracy they want to believe. And then they're just going to have a surplus of vaccines and they're going to have to open it up or they're going to lose them.
Yeah.
Because that, and I think that's mid-Feb, that they're going to be like, we have all these vaccines. We have all these groups that we said come. They're not showing up anymore.
Yeah.
Because the ones that want it, that fit in the category, are going like a week ago.
Yeah.
They're, like if you're 65 and over and you're waiting 3 weeks to get it, like what are you waiting for?
I got to be honest, this is my whole 2020. This is not how I thought I would feel in the end of January in 2021. Like I thought like no, let's just let all the elderly, high risk, whatever. Right now, I feel like, fuck it, man. No one's getting it anyway. Yeah. They're not even giving it to these people. These things are sitting in a cooler somewhere. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. The last 12 months has proven in so many facets of life, it's survival of the fittest. It's a fucking Hunger Games out here.
It's
and
crazy.
You're either going to live and you're going to make money or you're going to be dead and poor.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
there's two options.
I'm almost at the point where...
Dead and poor. So not only dead, but also left nothing behind.
But it is pretty dark.
You're either on GameStop and vaccinated, or you got nothing and you're dead.
But I mean, to an extent, it is Darwinian that it is survival of the fittest, because there's information about anything you want accessible within two clicks.
Yeah.
And if you want to take a viewpoint and go down a conspiracy hole, go for it. Not my problem.
Two clicks will get you like far.
I'm almost at the point where like I gotta stop worrying about them.
Yeah.
If they don't want to take the vaccine because they read three different articles, you're the one that suffers.
Yeah. Don't go to Coachella.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
We don't need you there.
And yeah. Guess what? We're all
we have
gonna
a
be
vaccinated tent. I'm gonna create a VIP vaccinated tent because I need to be safe.
But the other thing is, you don't care, right? You no longer care at that point.
Yeah.
Once you're vaccinated,
yeah.
There could be 50 unvaccinated little zombies walking in there. You don't care, right?
The real thing is, I'm only a threat after my second dose, because it's not clear whether I can get it and transmit it, but it wouldn't affect me whatsoever.
That's not clear?
That's not clear yet.
Oh.
So I'll be fine if it's Rona's flowing through my blood, but if I don't wear a mask, I'm going to screw the zombie.
Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine everyone's vaccinated, but the one thing they didn't know is you just infect the non-vaccinated zombies left and right.
And I think
don't you think this is going to be on an ongoing basis for everything that is of seriousness and matter? You're going to have, I would say, 50% of the people that will take a real full view and process things correctly and make the right decision. The right decision being, in this case, the vaccine. In 3 months, it's going to be something else. And then you're going to have the other half that just say, nope, opposite.
But here's why I think that's actually good news, even though it sounds bad, is because it's always been that way. It's just normally the information went to family, money, education. You were in the right circle. Now at least that information is available to everyone. So sure, maybe only half are going to take it and half are going to remain in that conspiracy camp. But at least there's a lot of people that don't have family connections or any of that stuff where you would have had to have that now have the education and are like, oh yeah, I'm informed. I'm going to go get the vaccine. I'm going to buy some GameStop stock. I'm going to,
Yeah.
Like,
and that's the thing.
Because it's always been segmented like that.
Sure.
That's a good point. Yeah, and I think, I agree. From my Harvard perspective, the... being the smartest one on the panel.
We really just kind of, we look to you to.
Yes. Yeah. At Harvard, these are the types of discussions we had.
I get it.
When we're having coffee at Harvard Square.
Between poetry
and
sessions.
Poetry, complex math problems.
I get it. Yeah. Algorithms.
I don't even need a computer to mine Bitcoin and just do it in my head.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that. Yeah.
Cool. But the thing about this whole situation is that you get to make your own decision. And we are the free, land of the free, home of the brave, home of the stupid, whatever you want. And it's like, you get to make your own decision. And if you, there are plenty of people that are not going to get the vaccine and they're going to be fine.
Yep.
They just are. They're just, right? And they're going to be like, I made the right decision for myself. That's fine. That's okay. If you're a healthy person and you took care, you washed your hands and you're
fit. Are you sick of your grandma?
Yeah.
Offer.
Yeah. And so you don't want to actually kill her, but
for 2 weeks. She's annoying me.
Did I not?
Yeah. Inheritance.
Not sure.
Jesus.
But so I think that's, we have to accept the fact that we aren't this draconian society that makes people do things. That's what this lockdown showed, that even people who believe that we needed to stay home were like, dude, this is ridiculous. You can't just lock us down for no reason.
I'm in that camp and I've taken it as seriously as anyone.
And I think when it comes to the vaccine and these things, we just have to let people make their own decisions. And all we can do is educate people. And if they choose not to, that's up to them. And whatever. In a year from now, if they're fine, great. Good for you. You survived. You're able to make the right decision for you and your family.
Yep.
We all have to make the best decision for ourselves. Our decision is we want to get vaccinated. We want our family to get vaccinated because we want to resume some normalcy, because we think if there are any risks with the vaccine, we're willing to take it. As an adult, it's really hard for me to see what the risks are. As a pregnant woman, I understand. My wife.
Yeah, because the data is just not there exactly. For all these. Because even for us, the data is not fully there, but it's enough where I know we're going
to
be fine.
Yeah, from an adult perspective, I'm very comfortable, me personally, to get vaccinated. From my wife who's breastfeeding, we're asking doctors, we're getting feedback, and we're learning all that information. I have plenty of friends that are pregnant. They're all waiting till they deliver to think about getting vaccinated. Children, we don't have enough data yet. We're going to get all that data in the coming months.
Yeah.
And then people can make the decision for themselves. But like, you know, one of those things is like vaccination causes autism. That's a popular one out on the internet for kids. It doesn't cause it in an adult.
No.
Like, I'm not going to be autistic tomorrow because of a vaccination. Is that even possible? I don't think that's possible.
I don't think so either.
So yeah,
we'll find out. We're going to
toss that question to the modern prescription pod.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, throw it in millions of arms, you find out real quick.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we already have 28 million people, I think, got the first dose already. Yeah.
And Biden, and
you know, the media would not be able to wait for those couple horrific cases.
Harvard man, now autistic.
Yes. Puts on Harvard hoodie, autistic next day.
You know how stupid his Harvard insecurity is?
Why? What? Yeah. So I do, yeah.
Almost a decade ago, he got invited to speak at Harvard Business School by our friend Derry, who's a Harvard MBA student.
I forgot about stupid. That.
And he went and spoke to the Harvard MBAs.
I forgot about
as
that.
As like a lecture.
You said that as one of you?
You know, it's so nice to be on the other side now.
Yeah. Now he's going to say Harvard.
I forgot I already taught a class there.
That's what it's like being friends with D.
I'm a genius. I didn't even know.
That's what it's like being friends with D. He'll teach at Harvard, then wish he went to Harvard, then wear a Harvard hoodie.
I'm going to host a clubhouse chat for my fellow Harvard grads.
You
have to be. You have to show me a Harvard degree. You know, everyone's a millionaire on there, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead and upload that to your profile pic.
At least show a hoodie.
Just the last thing to tie a bow on the politics of California and Los Angeles specifically. In front of my building, there's a homeless camp. They have heat lamps, tables, and they dine, outdoor dining.
Provided by the city?
No, provided by themselves.
Wait, where's the heat lamps?
They brought their own heat lamps. I don't know how they're setting it all up. It's a hot setup for this homeless camp. And I can't go next door and get eggs in the morning.
Why don't you go eat with them?
Yeah. You should.
Just because I'm looking for an outdoor dining situation.
That's allowed. They should just started charging.
Yeah.
How come Pete can't get his hands on some heat lamps? Yeah. There's a bounty on it, yeah. But a pack of homeless people can.
Yeah, it was a hot setup.
Don't you think the city might be providing some,
mm-hmm. some to things? I mean, the camps are looking good though. They've come
They're
a long
looking way. Good. Okay. Okay. Last but not least, we are talking about, you know, it's been about a year in, and we have this CNBC article that's just kind of a snapshot of numbers after a year. Of the Rona impact, you know, mainly on jobs and unemployment. And it's just brutal, man. We joke a lot about the stock market and how everything's up and whatever, but it's a brutal year.
There's some crazy stats here. So the nation has 8.5 million fewer jobs at the end of 2020 than it did before COVID-related shutdowns began last March. There are close to a third of small businesses that were open in January 2020 are now closed. Those serving higher income neighborhoods have actually been hardest due to a drop in demand. The majority of adults in seven states, Kansas, Montana, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Dakota, and Wyoming, majority of adults said in December they expected to be evicted or foreclosed upon within 2 months. 29 states are projecting tax revenue decreases of 10% or more for the fiscal year of 2021. As of December, more than 1 in 10 adults were reporting their households have gone hungry during the pandemic. Louisiana is 1 in 5. More than 2/3 of adults, 69% in December, reported experiencing anxiety in the previous week. Those earning below $50,000 per year were more likely to feel anxious, as were women and individuals who have experienced jobless. I mean, we're joking around GameStop and all this nonsense, and like half the country is completely fucked.
That's the only like complaint I have, I think, to some of the like Chamoths of the world, is like when you're talking about like throwing around $100,000 and stuff, it just seems a little tone deaf.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm totally fine with like you're a billionaire and you're making these big bets and go ahead and do that. But I don't know. I feel like we've done a really, I want to say good job, but it's not necessarily good, of like comedying away how incredibly serious this is for so many people.
That's why I think like you look at the people that are out there. Obviously, there's like the Bill Gates of the world that are like actually trying to help solve problems. And even to give Dave Portnoy credit, I don't know however many $50 million he's raised to give to small businesses. And now because he's given out so much money, we're hearing from people that, you know, two removed, they're like, dude, the guy showed up and gave me $100,000 and saved my business.
Yeah.
And so I think there is something going on that like, I don't think people realize. Yeah, maybe if you have a nice job and you figured out your business and you thrived, this devastation is going to take a decade to recover from. I think at least 10 years. It took 10 years to get recovered from 2008.
Yeah.
And
I'm telling you, they never did. I'm just telling you, where I'm from in Ohio, it never recovered from 2008.
Okay, so there you go.
It's never been the same.
So this is double dip.
Yeah.
So 10 years, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
In 2008, so 12 years ago, I was 22.
But you already moved to LA.
Yep. Oh. But it's the difference of like just seeing, I don't know. It's
when
just,
you go home for Christmas, it just looked different.
Yeah, I go home every year for Christmas at least, probably twice a year. But yeah, it's that 2008 was, my math right? Yeah, I was 22. Was completely devastating. Every house boarded up, blah, 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 blah. And now it just, it's still looks like that. Like it almost like halted the growth, and then there's still just more boarded up houses than there used to be, and just more, you know what I mean? Like it was just kind of a blow, I think, that never totally was the same.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't get how waiters, busboys that have got their shifts cut either 100% or 90% because they're the one takeout guy, how they're even putting food on the table, because a lot of that population is undocumented and doesn't have access to the unemployment
insurance. Yeah.
And I literally don't get how they're putting food on the table.
I'll tell you what, man, right now, as we speak, I live in Hollywood and there is a power outage in Hollywood that's like multiple buildings, like a pretty big area, that they just keep telling everyone, oh, it'll be fixed by 4. No, it'll be fixed by 7. It'll be fixed by 4. It'll be fixed by 7. It has been since Sunday before I woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
And there are people, if you look on the Twitter right now, of like, please, like I have children and dogs. All my food has expired. There's no running water. There's no, you can't shower.
Why is it down? That's such an insane thing.
They have not explained it. Someone said a car ran into a transformer and that's why, but they're saying that it's like 200 feet of underground wires and that's why. So nobody knows, but there's no transparency. And just like COVID, when we said in March, 2 weeks to stop the spread, is like they just keep punting it 3 hours at a time instead of saying, look, prepare yourselves. It's probably going to be a few days. The inside info that I'm hearing is it's Friday.
Oh, my God.
So I just went and booked a hotel for the week. So I'm like, fuck it, because I kept going home.
And you have the resources to do that.
And I am very, very fortunate. And there are people, like this is not, I'm not talking about strictly like a well-off area or anything. There's a lot of people. And it's just like, man, like in the middle of all this shit, you're sitting in the cold. It's oddly cold in LA. So you're sitting in the cold, like all your food is expired. And like no one can even tell you like, hey man, here's a voucher. Here's how you can.
Yeah. Like if you have kids, you have to leave.
You're fucked.
Yeah, but nobody knows. Like, and like I said, just keep in mind here, I'm not complaining for myself. I'm complaining for the people that are getting the real short end of the stick on this is like, they're telling you it'll be on by 7 p.m. So you're like, all right, I'll just stick it out.
Yeah.
And then 7 p.m. comes and they're like, sorry, not till tomorrow morning. So you're like sleeping in the cold.
It's insane.
With no groceries and like the elevators don't work. It's crazy.
That's nuts.
Anyway, just leadership, you know?
Yeah, I mean, strong leadership.
Just none of that.
Tim, real quick, have you ever heard of Kygo?
Of course.
Right? The big international superstar. Yes, Tim, you get it. What are you trying to get at?
What are you trying to get at?
Tim, let me tell you about Kygo and his new collaboration with Liquid IV. Yes, that's their new Pina Colada hydration multiplier. mix from Liquid IV. Guys over at Friends at Liquid IV are the sponsors of today's podcast. Thanks so much, Tim, for that little intro. This new flavor, the Pina Colada from Liquid IV in the collaboration with Kygo, is absolutely delicious. We just got some delivered this last week, and it is to die for. I'm having one every single day at this point just to make sure that I am properly hydrated. And it's really delicious. So, like, you get the best of both worlds. You can't beat it. Throughout the day, especially in those late afternoons, I really start to get tired. So something like this and the new Pina Colada flavor from Liquid IV gives me that extra little boost in the afternoon. Half of Americans report they struggle with daily fatigue. Some signs include decreased focus, lack of motivation, poor mood, and unhappiness. Don't let that happen to you. With Liquid IV Multiplier, you can upgrade your vibe each. Oh, you could upgrade your vibe and reach your constant state of awesomeness. I personally love Liquid IV. Like I said, I'm having it every day now, but it is also great after workouts. When I'm hungover on the weekends is one great time. Again, workouts are fantastic. Tim, when do you have Liquid IV?
I have Liquid IV as soon as I wake up because the air in this part of the world is so dry, it's unbelievable.
Yes, and Tim wakes up needing to be rehydrated.
Yes.
And luckily for him, he can do it 2 to 3 times faster with Liquid IV.
Which is good because my time is super valuable.
So valuable. So yeah. If you value your time, you too should take advantage of our offer right going on right now with Liquid IV. Liquid IV's cellular transport technology delivers an optimal ratio of nutrients for more efficient uptake. Enhanced rapid absorption into the bloodstream gives you a lasting energy boost, powers your mornings, fuels long days at work, and provides a boost for those tough workouts. Grab Liquid IV and their new Pina Colada flavor collab with Kygo. Costco, or you can head over to liquidiv.com. Get 25% off when you use the code GROUPCHAT at checkout. That's right. That's 25% off with the code GROUPCHAT at liquidiv.com. That's 25% off. That's 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code GROUPCHAT at liquidiv.com. Start feeling your adventures today at liquidiv.com. Promo code GROUPCHAT. Always support. Please, we always ask you to go support our sponsors. They enable us to do everything we do here. Liquid IV is amazing. Can't recommend it enough. All right, guys, thank you so much. Let's get you back into today's episode.
Okay, did you guys see YouTube has a TikTok competitor app that they claim is getting 3.5 billion views a day in their test run in India.
So in India, TikTok is banned still. And it looks like it's permanent. Like, I don't think it's ever coming back over
there. Is
that
a privacy thing or what is that?
China, just everything.
China beef?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indians don't really eat beef, so.
Great.
China samosa.
China samosa.
Canceled. I just got canceled by the woke Indian community.
YouTube, TikTok.
Damn. What's it called?
It's on YouTube, I think, right?
Oh.
Pete? Like, I think it's.
Yeah. Well, right now in the US, it's really hard to access.
It's called Shorts.
It's called Shorts, and there's a certain way you're supposed to post to go into Shorts and see Shorts. So it's hard in the U.S., but I think it is. Yeah, it's obviously much bigger
than
India.
I'm about to throw my outfit from your guys' wedding and get popping before I come over here to the U.S.
If you're trying to pop in India, you should just go all in on Shorts because these guys were such big TikTok users and they're just dying for
a piece of
a 15-second num-nut clip.
Indian TikTok had its own world.
Yeah.
It had its own style. It had its own everything.
Yeah, it was so big. So I think huge opportunity. YouTube came in and took advantage of it first. YouTube is so big in India already. It just shows, like, you know, we value like a company like Google so much based on like what they're doing in search. They have 3.5 billion views a day on some bullshit ass app that they just created.
And I think the way content's consumed in other parts of the world is so different. So obviously mobile is majority here, but mobile is 100% in third world countries.
Yeah.
They watch their shows on mobile. They do everything mobile. They pay mobile. So, I mean, the opportunity there is just nuts.
Yeah. So much bigger. I mean,
you just don't get the same advertising dollars.
You don't get the same advertising dollars, but I do believe that even in India, if you're a creator, you can make a great living. Mm-hmm. If you have the following. Because there, I mean, there's a huge consumption market. You just have to.
Whenever Snapchat was pretty early on, I remember traveling to India and we connected through Dubai and we're going through security. And every person at like the security thing was on their phone watching Snapchat, the workers, like yeah. their TSA.
Yeah.
And that really made me realize, I was like, oh my God, the opportunity is so much bigger because they're just starved of that type of media. And these companies, Snapchat obviously was super early, and now YouTube.
I think TikTok is so much bigger than we, like TikTok has truly transferred over, number one, from like little girls dancing.
Yeah.
That's still a huge part. But yeah. there's like all these different worlds.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the song, or the story about the driver's license song?
No, but it's number one.
So the number one song in the fucking world is Driver's License.
Yeah.
And it's this girl, I think she was on High School Musical, so she had a little bit of a you know, head start. But the point is, she made a TikTok about, oh, I got my driver's license and I drove, went for a drive and it inspired me to write a song and here's the song and it releases really next week. And yes, and it went so viral. And it just so happens that now there's like the boyfriend who she's talking about made a video and the blonde girl that she's talking about made a song. And so it's this whole world. But the point is, no matter how you slice it, this girl made a TikTok that she was making a song because she was inspired by getting her driver's license. And it's the biggest song in the fucking world by every metric.
I mean, I also saw even Jay Sean cover it. Yes. And I was like, holy crap. This. And I remember the day it came out. I went on Spotify. I usually just, if I'm running, I'll put top 50 because I just want to know what the top 50 songs are. And I'm like, what the hell is this song? I've never even heard of it. I searched it. There was no information on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this has to be a TikTok phenomenon.
And it just shows that like TikTok can king make in across all consumption.
Yeah.
Whether it's songs, the fucking, what was the drink? Skateboard dude?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cranberry the, ocean, letter yeah. spray.
Old, what was that?
Yeah, ocean spray.
Ocean spray.
It was cranberry.
So yeah. they're cranberry. Changing consumption because their algorithm's unlike anything we've seen. It's just the best.
Yeah.
They decide what works and what doesn't work. They can make the biggest song, the biggest drink.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, it's insane.
It was also, she's 17 years old and that was her debut song.
First song ever, number
first
one in the world.
First song ever, number one in
and
the
you
world.
You see the video. It's like, hi, I'm, you know, like goofy, got my driver's license.
Is she good looking?
Wrote a song, yeah.
She's 17, so we can't really actually comment.
Well, she's a good-looking
John was like, yeah. Yeah.
She's really good-looking. Jeffrey Epstein story.
It's a good segue.
Leon good Black. Segue. Our own Leon Black in the building. So,
Leon Black,
he's missing out on all the GameStop action.
He's missing out on the GameStop action. He blew his load a little early.
Yeah, literally blew his load.
The CEO of Apollo. It you know we talked about this months ago that he gave Epstein I don't remember the original number but
158
million. No, the original number was like $20 million.
Yeah.
It was okay. Like why did this guy give Jeffrey Epstein $20 million? Sketchy.
Yeah.
Well now this mother effer it turns out gave Jeffrey Epstein $158 million.
Insane.
What are you doing, Leon?
First of all, I'm gonna really condemn him.
Please.
Because he went to Harvard.
And so did his kid.
And we do not tolerate this at Harvard.
These are your colleagues.
I went from USC of just cheaters to now pedophiles at Harvard.
Yeah.
You see, because the higher you go, the worse it gets.
USC at least is just low life petty crimes.
Yeah.
It's a different bribery. Type of petty over at Harvard.
So Leon Black was the head of Apollo. How big is this fund?
Billions.
Hundreds of billions, maybe.
No, not hundreds of billions, but it's huge.
It's big. This SOB.
To say the least.
What dirt did Epstein have on this guy that he wrote $158 million in fees?
So Apollo did their own internal investigation and discovered that Leon Black had given Jeffrey Epstein over $158 million over like a 7-8 year period. He then said, young Leon came out and said, that he saved $1 to $2 billion on taxes because he paid Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody has come out and said Jeffrey Epstein is a financial wizard. Nobody. Where did Jeffrey Epstein go to college? Hopefully not Harvard.
Yeah, I don't remember, but you better hope, man.
Yeah, this is clearly blackmail. That's
yes.
all it is.
Leon blackmail. But how? $158 million? Is this the greatest blackmail ever in history?
So it has to be underage girls. You don't pay $158 million to keep your mistresses away.
No, you just pay. You're cheaper to get divorced.
You're cheaper just to give a mill to all the mistresses.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble, honestly. Like, we're pretty good at being like, all right, what does this really mean? $158 million, I'm having a really hard time of what that is.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
Because $158 million for blackmail is, like, so insane.
It's got to be one of the highest blackmail paydays ever.
So are you paying, is this partly because, like, just you love that island so much? Like, you pay $10 million a trip?
It like, must be what? Some really sick shit.
Yeah. Sick shit.
Because, you know, the only next step from like $158 million is country level blackmail. Hey, we're going to buy $2 billion of arms.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Because, or is it that like Epstein said like, hey, I'm going to invest your money in this fund of my own. But no one's talking about like a fund that he had or anything.
No, because if you're Leon Black, I looked up, Apollo has $72 billion under management. You're not looking for Epstein for financial advice.
No.
It's dark, man. Whatever it is, it's dark.
It is really dark, and now it really comes down to how far are they going to dig deep into this? Are they just going to let it go?
The problem is when you dig, it's who else you find out.
Exactly, and that's my point, is that it's going to...
Bill doesn't want any shovels coming out, if you know what I mean.
I mean... You know, Donald Trump was apparently...
He should be the first person Chamath kicks out of the Hamptons, Leon Black.
Leon Black was apparently in Russia with Donald Trump years ago.
I'm sure he's everywhere where there's unsavory stuff going on.
Yeah.
Leon Black's been around a lot of names we know.
Yes. And I think this is... I'm really curious. Are we going to dig deep into this? Or, you know...
Yeah, can we, like, Harvey Weinstein, Leon Black?
And really uncover.
But he stepped down from. You mean like really investigate?
Yeah, because after they got one girl, it was like 100.
Then the whole story came out. Yeah. And,
but yeah, that's my other question though: is where are these other girls that shouldn't someone be able to say, yeah, I was on
that? I think they all got paid. That money didn't just go to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, there's some cost of goods on that 158.
Jeffrey Epstein wrote checks to people to keep them quiet. This guy was running a ring. He knows what he's doing.
How
many years he kept this quiet.
I would die to know this operation. What is this operation? What do you do with $158 million? Like, what happened? What was happening? What was it all going? Like you're paying
how
girls.
Did it escalate from like, here's $20 million to like, I need another 20. 20 more. 20 more, Leon.
By any standard, $158
million. You
see this
million. Tape? 20 more million.
See that, Leon? We're going to make it 30 this month. So you had a lot of fun last week.
It's sick.
And what kind of guy is like, fuck it. Can I come back next week, though? I'm 50 million in. You got any open spots for March?
That's a great freaking point.
What?
After you paid off 50, what was so fun that you were like, I need another 100 million worth of this?
Because I'm just saying, you don't become Leon Black by throwing away tens and hundreds of millions of dollars.
This guy's probably a cheap bastard.
I'm sure he is.
And here's where it gets really hairy. Leon Black is still married. He's got 4 kids.
Whoa.
He's married to a woman named Deborah Ressler, whose brother is Tony Ressler, who also co-founded private equity firm Apollo Global and Ares Management and owns the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, this shit gets really, really ugly really quick.
Yeah.
Because we don't, unfortunately, by affiliation... You get dragged into this, whether you participated anyways.
It has to be like Succession, where you just had like billionaires. We're like, all right, we all know what's going on. Everyone's kind of a piece of shit, but we got to keep the show going. Is that what it is?
Because he's worth $8.8 billion. That is a lot of money.
But if you show everyone who went to that island or was affiliated with Epstein, and they're, let's just say their once removed network, it's everyone.
Yeah.
It's presidents, it's owners of sports teams, it's owners of funds, it's owners of corporations.
And that's why it's so dangerous, this rap. Like, does the National Security Agency view this as a threat? We're like, we just need to kill these stories. We can't let it because it's going to topple down American industrialists. Or do we expose it for what it is?
Well, for the sake of the girls that were probably traumatized, I'm sure they want justice.
Sure.
But to your point, like, I don't know why anyone's not talking.
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't no one just say, yeah, I saw Leon down there. It was crazy.
If you talk, Do you fear for your life? Is that like part of the thing?
I don't know.
Because I think you can make up the money with all the specials you'll get and Netflix shows.
But they don't know that. They're probably fucking.
That's usually what happens with these cases. That's what happened with Weinstein, right? Is you just saw like, oh, these people have like support and you know whatever. I'm going to come out and tell my story. It was like, it was sort of felt like there was that first round of the few girls that told their same story over and over on Netflix and all the things. And then like, where's everyone else?
Yeah.
This is like, how long did this happen? Decades?
The only person that knows is that Miami reporter. That he's, he or she, I forget, was I the one that like uncovered it.
Okay. Well, dirty.
I don't know what, I mean, I don't know what Jeffrey Epstein was an expert at for $158 million.
It sounds like blackmail.
Yeah.
It sounds like, yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap her up. As seen on social. You got anything?
No, I got nothing.
Alan?
I think we talked about everything.
I got one thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Trey Songz got in a fight with a cop.
Yeah. No way. At KC, right?
At the KC game. Kind of full. Apparently what happened was the cop, what I heard was Trey Songz was yelling at some people that were yelling at him. Some fans were kind of heckling him. He was just yelling back and forth at him, whatever. Cop comes and just like charges him, starts grabbing him, wrestling him, whatever. He puts the cop in a headlock. Seemed like the other cops came and all the fans and stuff were like, yo, the cop fucked up, like not Trey. Of course, Trey got arrested, but he's already out. Seems like a lot of people are speaking out like Trey was in the right here. So mm-hmm. I mean, this is so big, I'd be surprised if, he gets done wrong here, but who the hell knows? But it sounds like there was a really aggressive cop and Trey just put him in a little headlock.
That's crazy.
This video of wild. It. This video of Trey Songz with a cop in a headlock wiggling around.
So it's Trey really Songz funny. Is a strong guy.
Strong guy. Don't be fooled by that R&B music. Okay. Yeah. Headlock you up. Cop or not. Anyway, that's all I got. So hopefully that turns out okay and not...
All right. We got a couple shout-outs here. The first one is from Alexis to her fiancé. His birthday is on the 27th. He's turning 31 and he's been a diehard Kathy for about 2 years now. Hasn't missed an episode. And he's patiently waiting for the return of Short Story Long. Shout out to Trey Parker. He's an Amazon best-selling author. Plus, he's the VP of sales over at Trinet, which we use. We use Trinet.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And he's in the process of building a $1 trillion tech startup. Trillion, not billion. I like the ambition on the trillion. So happy birthday, Trey. And hopefully when you're a trillionaire, you look out for us little folks. Yeah.
Come advertise with us.
The next is a shout out to Gabe Hernandez. And it's from his girlfriend, Jeannie, who wanted to welcome him as a new Kathy. She's been listening for 3 years and talking to him about it. And he has finally enrolled in Group Chat University. They're out in San Diego. So welcome. Welcome, Gabe. Hopefully, you're a freshman. Your girlfriend's a senior. So... she's kind of slumming it right now. You need to, pick it up. 3 more years.
Pick it up. A lot of time left.
Go listen to the last 3 years and become a senior. What else you got, Tim?
Well, we got a shout out from Chris Paff, spelled P-A-F-F, and then it says in parentheses, but it's spelled properly. says, what up, guys? Fourth member of the group here. Hope y'all are well and happy. I quickly wanted to state for the record that if my real life alter ego is ever invited on the podcast organically, I will reveal my identity live on the pod.
Wow.
Initially, I thought that the chance of me getting an invite in the pod was slim, but ever since y'all had a guy from Minnesota on, I feel a lot more hopeful about my chances. Also, Tim, you need to work on your pronunciation of names, which is true. I can't tell what bothers me more, Tim's pronunciation of Anand or Drama's pronunciation of Kamala. I've heard he says Kamala. Drama reads a lot, so I have higher expectations for him, but the guy also has a random F in his last name, so I wouldn't put it past him. Bring back Short Story Long.
Oh my God, that's so good. And then, I wanted to give a shout out to the guys over at Impact Snacks. Luke, who, works with me on Grand Running Club, put a couple snacks on my... desk today and I didn't have lunch and I grabbed one and I was like, holy shit, Impact Snacks are incredible. By the way, if you're running the GRC challenge, everyone gets an Impact Snack bar and a 25% discount off their website. And the website is impactsnacks.co. And use the code GRC75 for 25% off at checkout. It's completely plant-based. It's made with almonds, lion's mane mushroom. What is that? Maca root? I don't even know what that is.
Sounds good.
Sounds natural.
Sounds natural. Sounds healthy.
Even the wrapper is made from plants.
Wow.
Fuck. That's unbelievable. impactsnacks.co. Use the code GRC75. It was incredible.
Very good. Even I had one. Yeah, very tasty.
I'm going to eat the iced latte one right now. but thanks, guys. Thanks for supporting the Run Challenge. And if you're into healthy snacks, check out Impact Snacks.
There you go. Do you have any more shout outs?
No.
Okay. I have one. This one is actually directed at you.
Okay.
A very special shout out to D from Kelton Drager. He's in March, his business lost 75% of bookings due to COVID. He sent you a DM about it. First thing he replied was, where's the opportunity? Fast forward to now, the business failed. I transitioned online, and since December 1st, I just passed $100,000 in revenue mark. He changed my mindset and made me look at the opportunity when things were shit. Wouldn't be here without the perspective. Massive shout out to D.
Wow. So you're rich now.
Yes.
And I'm expecting free drinks.
Yes.
If you ever see me and we're in the same city.
You have to.
You got to find me.
You have to.
I got to pick up my tab.
100,000?
Yeah.
This guy's going to do a million this year.
Yeah. Jesus.
Good for him.
Good for you, Kelton. Congratulations.
We have another one from Ruben and Erica, aka Ranch. I don't really understand that one. But from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so that would probably more or less explain it. We want to wish a happy birthday. Shout out to Manny. Manny's birthday is on Saturday. Huge, huge podcast guy. Also, shameless plug to Endless Detailing for all your auto detailing needs. Pete, don't fuck this up. I didn't fuck it up.
Is it detailing in Milwaukee?
I guess. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Endless Detailing. Check them out. If you're out in Milwaukee.
Wisconsin. You know, maybe when I'm back home.
Yeah,
get I won't drive home, so I won't have a car. Yes, that's all I have.
Okay, guys. We will see you on Thursday.
Peace.